This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato. I hit it hard, man.
Well, good Saturday morning, everybody. John and Charlie in studio. Billy Harmon will be joining us in just a little bit. How you doing, Chuck?
You know, John, I'm doing wonderful, but I'm just a little confused. The Cleveland Browns win one playoff game, all of a sudden you're wearing...
I got to buy the gear. No, my boy Alonzo Highsmith was...
Alonzo.
Yeah, he was a personnel guy for them a couple of years ago, and I got my gear from him, so... It's a sweatshirt that we needed a sweatshirt this morning, Charlie, in Houston.
That's it.
Yep.
And I'm so glad that they beat Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
But anyways, it's a golf show.
That's right.
Golf going on.
Although we were talking about the national championship last week, and we got one, and it was wasn't a great game, but we got Alabama in. Remember, Billy, we were talking about whether or not we take the over. Billy was saying he liked Ohio State. I hope he didn't put too much on it. Hope he still got something left. This morning.
We'll find out.
We will find out. That's for sure. But we're off and running. What was a good tournament last week? Did you watch the end of that thing?
Tournament of Champions?
Yeah, it was great. Harris English and Joaquin Niemann down to the wire, and then in extra hole. One extra hole. Harris English beats him with the birdie. Niemann had a beautiful shot, and he just messed up.
How about him playing for his niece? He has to raise $2 million because she needs his special medicine. That just doesn't make sense to me.
And just at 22 years old, he's got that responsibility on his shoulders, but yet he's coming through. He's playing again well this week.
That's it.
That's great that he's doing that. And you know, I mean, after you do that for loved ones, how about that? That is such a nice story. But we got a lot of golf to talk about. It's a little cool here, but yet we're still playing. I know a lot of places you're not nearly as lucky as we are listening, wherever you're listening at. But we're still playing out here. We had I was at the tournament last week. We played okay, finished third in our group. That was fine.
It
wasn't too bad. It wasn't too bad. So we had a great time out there at Pine Forest, and we're gonna have a lot more. What a well run. Tommy Wolfenberger does a great job.
He learned from me.
He did? Tommy worked for you?
Yeah.
Did he? I didn't know that.
He kept sneaking on the course, so I hired him.
It's a great story. And look at him now. He's Pine Forest Tommy now. All right, we're taking a break. Billy Harmon will join us on the other side. Don't you go anywhere. Listen to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity.
Listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. Let's bring in our good friend Billy Harmon to the show now to talk a little golfing. And Bill, you were talking about up Ohio State last week. Hope you didn't put too much on it.
No, didn't plan on the star running back getting injured the first series, but in retrospect, the best team won, and I don't have a problem with that. Alabama's got some program, boy. It's hard to not give them their due respect.
Like I said, you ain't going to make much of a living betting against Alabama, that's for sure.
And yeah, you did say that, by the way.
Yep.
You did say that, and I didn't listen.
I didn't either, Billy. I didn't either, Billy.
You went with your gut feeling, Bill.
Yep. Well, we got playoffs now. So this is a great weekend of football. It's a great weekend of golf. Last weekend, Bill, did you watch the finish of that event?
Yeah, I did. You know, I love watching Niemann play. He to me has such a natural swing. I think years ago we call it Charlie. He had an old caddy swing, you know, the guy that learned to play golf by caddying and imitating, and it's his. He's so young, but yet he shows a lot of poise under pressure, I think. So I think he's going to be a player that is really, really going to win a lot of tournaments. And I don't know. I think he's the kind of guy that will win multiple majors. He seems to have the game for that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's a big statement right there. But he's one of those kids that can play for a lot of money, and you got to really feel for him trying to raise $2 million for his baby niece that's, I don't know what kind of, you know, sickness she has, but medicine for $2 million a pop. And he's playing through it, and he's playing really well.
Yeah, he's good. Yep. What can you say? And it's, you know, as I look at the leaderboard this week, it's kind of cool to see a lot of the older players playing pretty good. Stuart Sink, Simpson, Vaughn Taylor, Chris Kirk, Charlie Hoffman. The game is really, really in good shape, I would say. Even when the stars don't play, the quality of play is really something up and down the board here. So I think the PGA Tour is in really, really good shape.
Yep.
Good shape in popularity, but without fans, it's cost them a lot of money. And that's the only sad part of the whole deal. And money's always an equation. It's part of the equation. It's a professional sport. You're raising money for charities and
mm-hmm.
The charity not money's not there. So, we'll work through it. You know, Augusta's announced their policy and what they're going to do as far as eliminating their patrons and just having, 5,000 people a day. But the quality of golf, Bill, I'm like you, birdie, 62, 62, 60. It's not fun.
Yeah, not nearly as much fun as when it's tight, when they're struggling trying to make pars.
Well, yeah, pars.
Because the pars are birdies now. Birdies are pars now.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable how good these guys are. And that we were talking about that last hole last week, Bill, with that goes it slants down right to left in the fairway, and then wow, what beautiful shot that Harris English hit in there to put it about 10 feet for Eagle to win the tournament. He missed that, then he went to extra holes and was able to birdie it again, and Neiman wasn't able to get up and down, so he lost that. But they're just so good. That shot is so pretty. Neiman, that Harris hit on the 72nd hole. It's unbelievable how talented these guys are.
270.
Well, you know, the thing that I love about it is Harris English lost his exemption a few years ago, and he's fought his way back. Kind of lost in the shuffle of DeChambeau at Wingfoot was Harris English, you know, who was right there on Sunday and on the very first hole hit a drive 15 yards in the left rough. There were no trees or anything, and they never found the ball.
Right.
And he could have collapsed after that, and he didn't. He ended up finishing third. So he's been on a pretty good train of getting his game back, and Charlie knows this very well, John. When a quality player loses his game, loses his confidence, there's no assurance that he'll ever get it back. We're seeing that with Jordan Spieth. So when I see a guy like Harris English, Steve Stricker did it, DeHaas did it at a time in his career. When somebody comes back from the abyss in golf, it's a really, really great thing because you guys, obviously, Charlie's a quality player. John, you love the game. When you lose your confidence, you will go through a period where you don't think you will ever play good again. And so when a guy loses his credentials, a tour winner, and he fights his way back, Stuart Sink has done it. Harris English has done it. I tip my hat to him. I think it's an incredible feat. I really do.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I think of Tom Watson, 1983, he three-putts the 71st hole of the U.S. Open at Oakmont, and he didn't win for 9 years. And he became, you know, I mean, just a great ball striker, as we know, but his putting just went south. And then he comes back and wins at Muirfield. And in Jack's course, and now he went on to have a great Champions career. So, yeah, comebacks are great.
Yep.
There's no doubt about that, Bill.
David Duvall, we saw that. When you see it, it just goes away.
He hasn't been able to come back.
No. I mean, and Jordan Spieth must be feeling that right now, guys. Jordan Spieth must be feeling like, what in the heck am I going to do?
I hear he's spending more time with Butch, Bill.
Well, he saw him once. Hasn't seen him since. So I don't know if it resonated with him or not. He doesn't appear to have made any effort to go back and see him. So I don't really know all the ins and outs of it. All I know is that Butch has told me that he has, in fact, not come back. So I don't really know where that stands, to be honest with you. But at least he went and saw him and got some new ideas. But from all accounts, he's still with his coach.
Right. Well, hopefully, yeah. I mean, it's such a great story if he could get it back, because he's so popular.
Fantastic.
He's so well. I mean, yeah. The fans love him, and hopefully, he's able to get it back this year. We'll see if he can't get on a nice run and keep it going, because he's had some stretches where he's looked okay, but he just hasn't been able to put four rounds together without one huge mess up at least out there on the course. We did find out that there will be patrons at Augusta National this year.
Yes.
So that's awfully nice. They're going to limit it to, I think, 5,000. How much, guys, what will that ticket be worth if there's only 5,000?
Well, it's interesting because I'm on the patron list, and I think the email that I got said they will be letting me know on January 18th, which I guess is Monday, whether I'll be one of the 5,000 or not that gets the ticket. So, in my case, if I don't, I've been there 30 times probably, et cetera, but it's nice having that ticket in hand, knowing that you could go if you wanted to go, that's for sure. So, in fact, I was thinking if we do get the two tickets, I might just go, because with only 5,000 people there, it would be kind of a neat thing to be one of them. So, deep down, I'm hoping that I get one of those, but if I don't, it's not going to be a subtraction in my life. It'll just be an addition.
No, but if you if you sell it, you can make a lot more bets on Ohio State, Bill, and you don't care if you lose, okay?
Because I'll be betting on Alabama.
Next time. You learned your lesson? You learned your lesson last time?
I didn't expect that star running back who was playing as good as anybody to get hurt that first series. That hurt him a lot.
That hurt him a lot.
They couldn't hold on to the ball, so Alabama, that receiver is freaky good, boy.
Boy, is he ever. Devontae? He's good.
He's quiet.
Yeah, he is.
He just runs through the wind.
But I wonder if Augusta will have it where you aren't able, if they put your name on it or what your picture or something on it, so that you're not able, because that ticket at 5,000 fans, you know what we pay for them now to go there? It's unbelievable how expensive and what value that ticket has with a full house.
Yes.
With 5,000 people, what that Masters ticket will bring, holy cow. All right, it's 22 past the hour here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. We've got more golf to talk on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
Hi, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. Charlie, I'm looking at Insperity right there on the inaugural Golf Club of Houston Invitational. What? Charlie Epps Invitational.
They are so giving. They're very successful. It's a $4 billion company that has grown since 1986. But their caring for charity is second to none. And they support everything, just like they're supporting a tournament that we're starting out at Golf Club of Houston to raise money for junior golf on my behalf. And it's really exciting, and we'll be able to help some kids do some things that maybe they couldn't have. So it's really exciting being supported by Insperity and their years and years of success. And if you're, you know, we've gone through such a bad year with COVID and your business is not doing well, and if you need some help, log on to Sperity.com and their team of, you know, they're really HR specific, but also they're across the board on business information. So give them a call and always tell them that Charlie Epps and John Granato sent you to get some good information.
But what about this, Bill? It's the Charlie Epps Invitational. How about this? The 2021 benefiting the Charlie Fantastic. Epps. How about
old
that?
Charlie, the hits just keep coming from old Charlie.
Yep, the president of the Spirit and the Charlie
he's come Epps. A long way since he associated with me on this radio show.
Yep, since he was Pine Forest Charlie.
I met Billy at a tournament in Phoenix, Arizona, Tempe, Arizona, and it's been a great relationship,
right.
You know, for so
Chandler, Arizona.
That's it. There you go.
Yep.
But San Marcos.
Why we're talking, and there's four things that have happened this week, and of course Justin Thomas misspoke, and Polo dropped his contract. You know, the new Tiger film is out in HBO, and it's, you know, I've heard pros and cons of what it's all about, and then, you know, my buddy Ángel Cabrera is in trouble, and the thing that we all got to realize is these people are human, and they make mistakes, and they're going to pay for them dearly. My buddy Cabrera is in a situation that's not pretty, but you know, some of it's not true. I know that for a fact. There's a lot of lying going on. I mean, you can see our politics today. There's people lying day in and day out. But the bottom line is you got to respect human beings, and you got to respect, you know, life. And hopefully this will all get behind him, and he can continue on with his golfing career.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, but hopefully that gets resolved. And you mentioned the politics of everything else to Trump Turnberry. They're not going to have the an open championship there anytime soon. They don't have plans for it. And then they took away Trump National, the PGA championship as well. And they're looking at different sites. Bethpage Black has been mentioned. Valhalla has been mentioned. Southern Hills.
They even mentioned Memorial Park.
Did they really?
Yeah. Well. One of the sports writers was very complimentary of the Memorial Park tournament with Jim Crane and how it went and how great the golf course was. And that
it was tough.
Be a perfect venue for a major championship on a municipal golf course.
Mm-hmm.
So that was good props.
Well, yeah, it was tough. It was amazing. They didn't bring that to its knees. That's for sure. The players struggled with it. So that'd be awesome if it was.
Yep.
And it's May now.
May, yes.
It's in May now. So that'd be perfect here.
Perfect weather. Perfect everything.
Yeah, everything. So that interest.
You know, I'd like to comment on that Justin Thomas thing, and this isn't just about Justin Thomas, but we live in a world today where a guy could do 1 million good things in his life and slip up and say something. And Charlie, you play golf. John, you play golf. And we've heard a kaleidoscope of words on a golf course, all said to themselves, that could be deemed inappropriate, okay? But does that negate all the good things that Justin Thomas has ever done in his life? I've never heard a bad word about Justin Thomas.
Yeah, no, it's one of those.
I know a lot of players, I know a lot of coaches, I know a lot of caddies, and we live in a world today where I have an expression, I think I made this up, where imperfect people expect perfection from other imperfect people. And I think it's BS, to be honest with you. And I think we live in a culture today where we allow other people to define who we are. And I can honestly tell you, someone could come up to me and call me any name that they wanted to call me, and it wouldn't bother me because I know who I am. But today, you know, we used to say sticks and stones will break our bones and words will never hurt us. Now words hurt, and you're allowed to use sticks and stones to destroy businesses and other people. And I think it's crazy. I really do. And I'm not diminishing what Justin said. I just think that there has to be a scale in life of what you've done good and what you've done bad. And I got to believe that Justin Thomas's scale is so on the positive side. And one little slip up that he said to himself now has branded this guy as not a good guy. And excuse my language, I think it's bullshit. I really do. I'm so tired. I'm so tired of anybody making a mistake, and all of a sudden, the rest of their lives are branded as this terrible human being. None of us could pass this test. Not one person on the planet could pass the test that they're laying on Justin Thomas right now. Not one human being.
Well,
I'm just so sick of it nowadays. It drives me crazy.
The only thing that this snafu is going to cost Justin is some dollars, not his reputation. Everybody understands that.
I think it hurts his reputation, too, which the dollars is no big deal. You know, Polo acquiesced and dove, you know, they backed out of it right away, you know, and I don't know. I don't get it, to be honest with you. I just think we've become such weenies. And we can't accept any kind of word in the alphabet, and everybody just gets so hurt by everything everybody says. I don't get it. I just see so many good people that get skewered for one mistake when they've done thousands of good things. I just don't think it's right. I think there has to be a scale in life. And I've got to believe his good has outweighed the bad 1,000 to 1.
Nobody.
I don't know the guy. I don't even know him. I've never met him. I've never said a word to him.
Yeah. Nobody will dis. You know, everybody will agree with that, Bill. He's a fine up and coming young man that made a mistake. His mom and dad are great.
We
people.
All make mistakes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I couldn't agree with you more. So, but you know, in Uncle's case, he did a little more than. Then he should have. Yeah, but it's
different than Justin Thomas.
There's no doubt about that. And Tiger, what Tiger's gone through, and we're going to relive that through the HBO special. And people, you know, want to spend more time on the negative than the positive. And it's unfortunate. And
I didn't see the special. I just heard that it did not shed Earl in a very good light.
No, and there's another. The second phase is this week. So it's
okay. I didn't even see the first one.
Yeah,
no, I haven't watched it either. But I'm planning on watching it. Everybody says it's pretty good. Whether or not, Earl. Well, Earl's a man, just like a real man. Like they're talking about Billy. Everybody makes their choices in life and whatever. He certainly did raise the a golfer to be the greatest in the world. That's for sure. His other flaws, notwithstanding. But yeah, Bill, I agree with you. He forever is going to be the guy that had a gay slur. And you know what though, that's the world we live in. But it doesn't diminish what Justin Thomas has done or will do in the future.
No, it doesn't. I'm not giving him a free pass. I'm just telling you he's human.
Yep.
And we all listen. We've all been on a golf course and we've heard a lot worse words than that.
Yep. No. Yeah.
That's a fact.
Absolutely.
And anybody that's ever played golf has heard it. You know. And it isn't necessarily an indictment of who the person is, you know. How many weird names have you called yourself on the golf course, you know? Mm-hmm.
Well, my biggest pet peeve is how often golfers will use GD after they hit a bad shot.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not God's fault. No. Come on, people. No. You know, you hit a bad shot, that's on you. Don't be slurring God. That apparently is a lot more acceptable than what Justin Thomas said.
There's a lot of people that would find that much more offensive.
Yeah, I do. You know what?
Yeah, and I get that. And so I don't know. I just think that we just live in this world where we're all flawed and imperfect, and we're expecting everyone else to be perfect. It just seems, you know, take care of yourself, make yourself a better human being instead of trying to always. Be the moral compass for everybody, you know?
There it is.
Why don't you work on yourself?
There you have it.
It's called forgiveness.
It is. We could use some of that. We could use some of that with Justin this week, that's for sure. Well, we got some more golf to talk on the other side here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Inspirity and Spirit, Inspiring Business Performance. Don't you go anywhere.
listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
All right. Back here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. Guys, we're still in Hawaii and the Sony Open, and Nick Taylor is up there, Russell Henry, Vaughn Taylor, Chris Kirk, Stuart Sink, Webb Simpson up there again, Bill. This guy's a top 10 player. Webb Simpson, what a
every
job.
Week.
It's unbelievable how good he is. You know, it's so hard to win out there, but to be competing week in and week out, to be up there at his age and where he came from. Now, Webb Simpson disappeared too for a long time. Bill, you worked with him. And you, what did
I worked with him a little bit, and he actually uses Butch. Webb doesn't really need a full-time coach. Actually, his caddy, Paul Tesori, is a very good player. And Webb sees Butch three or four times a year. Paul is usually with him. And so Paul becomes the set of eyes. They have unbelievable trust in each other, Webb and Paul. They're probably maybe the best team out there. And so he's turned into just a wonderful player because, John, if you went to the range on a PGA Tour and you looked at Webb and said, that guy's a top 10 player in the world, you'd say, oh, man, I don't think so. You'd see guys that look so much better than him, you wouldn't believe it. But he can score, and the one thing that Jerry Haas, his coach at Wake Forest, told me years ago, he never met anybody that loved golf as much as Webb Simpson. So he loves it. And the guys that love it, they will tend to endure longer than the ones that tolerate it.
Yeah, right.
Well, and his swing speed through the golf ball, really quick.
I love that helicopter that he's got at the finish because he is whipping through it so well.
And he hits it so straight, Bill. I mean, I haven't watched
him. He's got really, really good hands, mm-hmm. Charlie. You know, I know that's a... You know, modern-day teaching, we don't talk about the hands, but the hands are the only thing that's in contact with the golf club. And you give me somebody who has great hand-eye coordination as someone who doesn't. I think the person with hands, they're able to do, John, that most players might not be able to do, is they can actually save a bad swing at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can sense that maybe they're coming over it, and their hands will goose it back online. It's an art. It's a gift. It's something that's very, very hard to teach, I think.
You know,
Webb Simpson, when he fools around, can hit more golf shots than just about anybody in the tour, Charlie.
Yeah, no, he's proven that. But he, you know, after he won the U.S. Open and all that, then they banned the long putter, or and so he went through some struggles with putting.
No.
Isn't that correct, Bill?
Oh yeah. Well, he. Once they couldn't, attach it to their body, he had to go up. I guess he went with the forearm attachment, which I've never understood either, that's okay. And the other wasn't okay, but that's for another discussion. But he had to reinvent how he putted, and a lot of the guys that couldn't anchor it have never got it back. So it's interesting that that had such a negative effect on a few players, but it took Webb a little bit of time to get there, and now he putts very good. And if you watch him putt, once he makes a decision, he goes quick. He putts very, very quickly.
Just like his golf swing. So,
mm-hmm. Well, it's funny.
Yeah, I like that, though.
Well, it's funny you talk about it, Justin. Yeah, I'm watching the Jack Nicklaus document. I forget which one it was, but Jack is talking about on his downswing, he thought he was a tear inside, and he had to adjust his hands and whatnot. And I heard somebody saying, I'm calling BS on it. How on your downswing are you thinking that hard? I was getting a lesson from a pro. He said, okay, so what were you thinking when you were hitting the ball? I said, I don't know. What do you mean, what was I thinking? What are you talking about? What was I thinking when I was hitting? I'm just trying to hit the dang ball, okay? So, yeah, to be able to adjust, like you said, Bill, in the middle of your swing, and to have those kind of hands like that is really, really a big edge for a guy. No,
oh, I think so.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, we got a nice leaderboard. We got some great play again, although we're all not thrilled with 20 under, 25 under winning tournaments, right? But I don't think it's Hawaii, guys, is defenseless against these guys unless they get some kind of wins, and it doesn't seem like they've ever got that kind of wins.
Plus, it's the flattest golf course on tour.
Yeah.
So the shots into the green, you're hitting from perfect lies. You don't have any up and down. You know, although last week in Kapalua, you know, you have some side hill shots that really affect the flight of the golf ball. But there in Honolulu, it's a pretty benign golf course, and the only defense is that, you know, the Kona winds or whatever you want to call them, and these guys are just shooting bullets.
They're just so good. They're just, you know, so good.
A friend of mine sent me a survey from the players of the U.S. Open at Wingfoot, and it was pretty much unanimous that it was they love the setup, they love the course. Many of them said they thought it was the best U.S. Open venue that they'd ever played. A consistent complaint, which I thought was real, they would have liked to have seen the fairways a little wider, but the rough tougher. So I thought the fairways were a little narrow, but when they cut the rough on Tuesday, it wasn't quite as penal, obviously, as it had been. But the comments were unbelievably positive about Wingfoot being a hard, fair test and a great U.S. Open venue. And that's on a course that only one guy broke par. So it kind of tells you that the players don't mind if it's hard, Charlie, if it's fair.
Were they surprised of the winner? Did they
I don't think so.
Ask that question that it
Bryson was Bryson, over the power?
Yeah.
You know. He was a top 10 player going in. Wasn't like it was Jack Fleck or something.
Mm-hmm. How about Torrey Pines this year, guys? Is it going to – how tough can they make Torrey Pines to keep the scores high?
Tough.
Yeah. They caught Torrey Pines. And Torrey Pines will get some wind, too. No?
Yeah. They got some big rough there. They can grow that rough and grow it in. And, Tiger won with 8 under the last time it was there. So it's been redone since then, John.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Torrey Pines will be a great U.S. Open golf course.
But yeah, and usually the by nature the greens aren't great.
Yeah,
not saying they're bad, but they're Poana greens. And the other thing about Torrey is being right on the ocean there, boy, the air is really heavy. The ball does not go, and so they have to really adjust their club selection, which they'll be able to do. But some of those holes, Charlie, back into the wind play so long, it's almost like you can't take enough club on your second shot.
Yeah. You know, I played there in August one year when I was traveling with the Texans, and played there, and it was terrible. It was just, I was like, this is where they have a tournament and they hold opens?
Yeah.
And because they just, it's a muni. It's a menu outside, and they only charge like $15 for residents there, right?
Yeah, they've upped the price, but it's more for non-residents that pay the couple $100 fee, and their budgets have improved, and they now understand the value of that golf course, not only because it can have majors, it has a tour event every year, Bill, and it's got 36 holes of golf, and San Diego.
No, it's quite a place.
It really, really is. But it was very disappointing when. But if they change their attitude about it, because once the tournament left, it seemed like they were just it went to hell.
Yeah, but so, not now.
Well, I think they close it for at least a month and they get it ready. Yeah. And nowadays they can do that. But no, I think it's a factory if there ever was one as far as play. So I imagine when you played there, John, it was totally run down.
Yeah, really
summer and
yeah.
Funniest really thing I ever saw at Torrey Pines is out there on number 12, you know, where everybody's hang gliding and they've got these airplanes that they're flying and, you know, a remote control. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching this one guy and he's got this beautiful airplane and making going up circles and he turns it around and he's coming down and all of a sudden you can see him hitting his little control box because he's not responding and flew it right into the ground. Bloom.
Well, there goes a few hundred bucks. Sorry, pal.
Yeah, probably 5,000.
Maybe. I don't know what those go for. That's for sure. So, well, that's good stuff. So, Torrey Pines has a Kiowa Island is another major site this year. We will. They'll be at Kiowa Island, and then the Open Championship, Royal St. George's. Royal St. George's Golf Club. So we got a good season, and hopefully we'll have some fans out there. That sure would be nice. Do you guys think it has changed? Has it changed the guys? Has it changed? Is it tougher to play when there's so many fans there? I know it's harder to get around, obviously, and especially when Tiger's playing in it, or if it's a major, it's awfully difficult for the players to move nearly as easily. But what about the nerves of it, of playing right now without people out there as opposed to people?
Well, I think
it helps the younger players.
Yeah, but I think the professional golfers, the professional athletes, they like to see the stands full. There's a certain buzz that part of sport is adrenaline,
yep.
and adrenaline comes from nerves, and all of a sudden you got 5,000 people up there, and so I think it's a big part of the game, and it's I want it back.
Yeah, we all want. I think we do. You think that the guys it's easier for the young players that they don't have those fans out there, Bill?
I think so, especially in contention. I really do. I think the better players might feed off of it, but I think the people that are maybe not as used to being in the last group and things like that, I think it has to be a little bit less nerve-wracking, I would think. That would just be my guess. But, you know, I've caddied in groups and majors and last groups and stuff, and I want to tell you, boy, it's you can cut that tension with a knife, and I don't think you'd be able, I just don't think even from a caddy perspective it would be as tense if there's no people out there.
No. It's 52 past the hour now. We're going to take a break. We've got another segment on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Don't you go anywhere.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
We were just talking about the nerves, Bill. We were reminiscing about Charlie. You were leading after three rounds in San Antonio, right?
After
two rounds, that's right. So I drove from here. I see Charlie at the top of the leaderboard. I drove to San Antonio to go watch him. I wanted to be there when he won, and didn't end up winning, but you were talking about the nerves. You weren't nervous then. You just, that first shot was all the only.
Just the first shot, you know, once you get that shot out of the way, you just kind of settle in into your game. I mean, unless, you know, the last five holes, you're close to winning. And by then I had gotten a couple over. So the first shot, that's it.
That's it. Well, you were nervous on that first hole with Billy, too, when you tripled it.
I wasn't going to bring that up, but I knew you would.
I'd forgotten about that.
Don't have to worry about that lead anymore, bro.
Infamous caddy stories. Yeah. I'm a kinder, softer version of that guy now.
Yeah, I bet you are, Bill. I bet you are. That was so funny.
If you're worried about being in the lead, you just took care of that.
No more nerve. Don't have to worry about that anymore, pro.
Should have fired me on the spot.
Good stuff. That is just good stuff. Well, this is good stuff, guys. At the top of the leaderboard, we got some guys. Any predictions this week?
Boys, whoever gets to 27 under will win.
27? You like 27 is the number, huh? Hey, it's not unattainable, that's for sure. Billy Horschel played pretty well last week, too. Neiman is playing great golf.
I hope he wins.
That would be nice.
That would be just a wonderful story. Mm. A kid that came from Chile. And it's just been incredible, Bill, his run of success. That he came out of nowhere. And there's never been a Chilean golf pro.
And so young.
Yeah.
Yeah, so young. He was the youngest guy in the tournament last week.
I think his beard helps him a lot.
You think so?
Makes him look like Don Quixote. Yeah.
Morikawa's up there at the top, and so is Daniel Berger. We got a nice little leaderboard going on this week.
Yeah, it should be a real shootout. I think that And the 18th hole, you know, has got pretty good drama to it because it's a very hard driving hole, but, you know, the guy can make eagle there to win or tie. And so the 18th hole, I think, provides a pretty dramatic finish on that course.
And this week they made the out of bounds left, which is inside the golf course, to prevent them from, you know, taking the shortcut. So, yeah, it's a fun hole to watch. And 17's a real hard par 3, so we'll see.
The 17's a beautiful hole, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Very good.
Well, I'm not going to be here next week, boys. I got a little break. I'm going to Cabo to play in a Cabo Cup event, a Ryder Cup kind of event with 16 guys. It's going to be a lot of fun. So,
man.
It's a great thing. I got invited to this year, so I'm going to be doing that next week. So maybe Jake will step in for me.
Hey, he's sitting here in his Cleveland Browns.
That's right. I got my Browns gear on today. You know, that's right. Go Browns.
They win one game.
I got to get their gear.
Who's going to the Super Bowl?
It's going to be the Chiefs and looks like the Packers. I don't know anybody's going to go in there and beat those teams, that's for sure. So I think that'll be a pretty good game, I think. Aaron Rodgers against Patrick Mahomes. That'd be a lot of fun. That'd be a lot of fun to watch.
No contest.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it'll be, hopefully, Green Bay's a pretty good football team, so we'll see. But that's it. I'll talk to you in 2 weeks. You guys will be back again next week. I hope you all, wherever you are, you all have a great golf week. Thanks for listening to Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance.